He's a superhero. Yeah. Did you see him leap over tall people in the single bound? First of all, we are not used to staying within time frames. So in Jesus' name, I proclaim over this new congregational meeting time that there is no end. Rich time. My sense about things is that we just do what we need to do here. And we don't worry about how long it takes because there's something like, are you going to tell Rick and Cindy, no, you can't do this? Or tell me, no, you can't do what you're doing right now? This is, everything we do together is important. Everything we do. And so, you know, when we're worshiping, I know there's distraction sometimes, but that's what we're doing together. We're not having conversations like Jeff was asking. Jeff and Tasha have been we're making coffee this morning, and they're like, "Well, should we wait a little bit longer because people are getting here late, and so that they have coffee?" And I'm like, "No. Why would we cut out people's worship time? So, I mean, get here earlier. The doors are open at 9. There's prayer happening here. There's coffee happening. So just get here on time. Get here earlier. If you want to spend some time together, have some coffee, get here earlier. The coffee here is better than any place in town because, I mean, it's the best coffee in town. Zojo is the best coffee in town. And we've got one of the Zojo baristas here. So, like, it's the best. Yeah. Or you can talk him into almost anything, but don't talk him out of worship. Don't talk him out of that. Don't try to make him feel guilty for coming up here and playing guitar. What's it? Kim saw flames on his guitar today. Are you going to cheat somebody out of flaming guitars? I mean, really? Is that really a good idea? So, you know, things will change. Things will morph. We're new at this. We're still saying this evening, you know, when we describe things that are happening here. Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, tonight.
Well, tonight? See? I can't even do this right. Oh, well. Today. So, Chris has been leading worship for a while, and part of my sense about this whole thing of worship, I mean, worship's more important to me than teaching. Not because it just is. It's more important to me than teaching. I mean, anybody can teach, but there's a time when we have to engage with God in his presence, and that's precious to me. I'm protective of it. And so Chris may share some of this stuff with you, but, you know, when he started leading worship, which was not that long ago, a year ago or something like that.
Here.
Yeah. I mean, he led worship at the school and stuff, but I think it's different leading a congregation in worship because you're much more aware of the fact that they are here for a reason. If you're leading worship at Three Rivers Christian School, they want out of there as fast as they can. The people in here want in here as fast as they can. Yeah, it is a tough job. And so worship's important to me. So last fall I told Chris, those of you who know me know I don't usually ask people to do things. I just tell them this is what we're going to do. You're going to teach at the beginning of the year, teach about worship. And the reason why is not because Chris and I sat down over coffee and thought, oh, Chris, what do you think about worship? In fact, we haven't even talked about any of this. We will after today because there'll be something to talk about. But I said, Chris, I want you to teach about worship. And the reason why is because he can't just be up there with a guitar. I mean, if he's a worship leader, if you're a worship leader, you got to worship. So it's not okay to do other things when we're worshiping. It's just not okay. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's distractions and there's things that are going on in our minds, but it's just not okay. And if you're a worship leader, you need to teach people about worship too. You need to, and so he's learning to do that today. This is not Chris polished and ready to go. This is Chris, your worship leader, who wants to communicate his heart about worship to you. So I want you to be protective of him. This is not a performance. This is not, let's see how good I can do at teaching. So I just want to release you from that, Chris. You don't have to perform for anybody. The reason why he's teaching about worship is because it's important. Because he needs to be able to communicate not just in song with a guitar, but he needs to communicate with words how important it is to worship. I want him to be one of the best worship leaders we've ever seen. I don't want him to just lead worship. I want him to be the best worship leader. But he's going to be the best worship leader because of what the Holy Spirit enables him to do, not because he's talented or gifted. I mean, we've seen talent and gifts, right? I'd much rather spend time in the presence of God with somebody who cares about this. So I just want to pray for Chris, and I want you to reach out your hand to him and pray for him. That, and release him from this pressure to look good and to perform and to have a perfect message. Chris, just be yourself. Let God do in you what he wants to do and grow and grow and grow and learn more and grow more and be everything that you are. Everything is inside of you. We pray that it would come out today, that there'd be no hindrance to him just being able to share his heart about this, something that's really important to him. We pray that you protect him, and not just now, but afterwards. He wouldn't be vulnerable in the least to anything or anyone, but he'd be protected, and he'd be under in the shadow of your wing, Lord. He'd find a safe place to be himself today. And yet we pray that the words that he shares will be powerful, and they go deep into our hearts and impact us in a way that really makes sense to us, because we really do care about you. We want the best. So, Lord, just let Chris have fun. Let him enjoy what he's doing today. Let him enjoy this experience, this opportunity. Amen. So I didn't just ask him to teach one week. He's going to teach next week, too.
I felt like because of his youth, I felt like the Lord had something that he wanted me to share, too. For one thing, you're Timothy. And Timothy was an amazing young man. And you have a humility that's placed in you by God. And you don't, it's not fake. It's for real. But to be a worship leader at your age is such a big calling. It's a high calling. And and I'm just kind of agreeing with Jeff. But I felt like what you need to hear is it's okay to say, I want to be good. I want to be good. I want to be really good. You don't have to be better than anybody else. You have to have the freedom to understand that you are so unique and designed by God, and because on account of your youth, you're going to probably look around and you're going to compare, and you shouldn't do that. You just freedom for you to go to the throne room and say, Lord, I want to be good. But there'll come a time when it's going to be a higher calling. I want to be excellent, Lord. I want to, because it's his excellency in you anyway. And so just know freedom. The Lord's pleased with you, your decisions. He's going to keep being pleased with you. He's going to keep leading and guiding you. But it's okay to just want to be good for a season and then go to higher ground. And just, I feel like the Lord wanted you to hear that.
Amen. Yes. All right, so, hi, what's up? All right, so this morning, obviously, I'm going to talk about worship. But really, in order to talk about worship and understand what it is, I believe one of the most important things is to understand something about the one that we worship and who it is we're worshiping. And so here I create a timeline of all of time extending into eternity. Here we are right now. Here's Jesus' first coming. And there's the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. But really the question is, what came before creation? Yeah. What came before the beginning? What came before time even began? And that was God.
There we go.
God is eternal. He is holy, he's magnificent, completely other than anything we've ever known or can even understand. He is outside of time while at the same time being inside of time. So while this serves a purpose in illustrating something, it'd be more appropriate to make him a big circle around everything else, but it didn't really work in illustrating the purpose that he came before. So he's outside of time, which is crazy. But Isaiah described him as being the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity and whose name is holy. He's infinite, eternal, and majestic. But this begs the question, what does a being who lives forever and created time do outside of time? Because I could probably just sit here for a billion years and just ponder the point of the fact that he lives outside of time. But to even begin to grasp what he's doing while existing outside of time just completely blows my mind. But the good thing is I don't have to think about it too hard because Jesus let us know a little bit about it in John 17, verses 24 and 25. He's praying for those who are going to believe in him through his word. And he's talking to the Father. And this is a really vulnerable moment for Jesus right before he goes to the cross. And he is praying this to his Father. You loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. Jesus is revealing to us that before time began, before any creation existed, God existed in love. He was love and he is love. He existed as the triune God, as Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and Holy Spirit. He existed in perfect love, in perfect glory, in perfect communion with himself, between each part and each facet of his being. But this isn't the fuzzy kind of love, you know, oh, I love my little lady, she's our dog. You know, I love my dog, or even I love my wife. God's love is an all-consuming fire. His love is an endless ocean, whose height and depth and width knows no bounds, where we could swim into it, dive into him for eternity, and never even begin to, you know, come underneath the surface. We'd still just be in the shallow pool when there's all of eternity below us. And he is completely fulfilled in himself and who he is. God doesn't need us. He didn't make us because he was lonely or because he needed a friend. He was completely satisfied in himself and who he was, in perfect love and unity. However, the nature of love is to be expressive. And so this is why we were made. We were made by God, for God, as an expression of love, to be loved and to love him in return. Yeah. This is why we are made. This is the reason we are here. This is the purpose of creation of all of time. We were made for God, by God. However, this isn't reality. When you look around at the world, you don't see, you know, everyone being unified with God, loving him, being loved by him, you know, experiencing his glory and his love. There's really a great disparity between this image that of what we're created for and what our destiny is and the way things are now. And that's because sin has covered the face of the earth. It all began in the garden when one man decided he knew better than God. He decided he could judge what was good and what was evil. And so because of this, we've been disconnected from God. We are now separate. Now, this isn't because God was a mean God, you know, oh, you're so bad, I'm going to separate from you. It was actually by his grace and his mercy that he withdrew his spirit from us and took us out of the garden because he would have destroyed us with his presence. It's just natural that darkness cannot exist in light. As sinful beings in sin, we would not be able to exist before God. We would just disintegrate by the pure, awesome power of his glory. And so that creates a problem. Now, the cool thing is that God knew this would happen. God created mankind knowing that we would turn from him. He created us knowing we would reject his love, and he still did it anyways. That's because he had a plan. He had a desire for us. And his desire was to be reunited with us. Galatians 4:4-5. says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. In God's plan, he chose to sacrifice himself for love, for the sake of love. When Jesus died on the cross, he took upon us, or he took upon himself all of our sins, everything we have ever done wrong. He took it all upon himself, and he paid the price for us. 1 Peter 2:23 through 24 says, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And so this is kind of how it goes down now. So here we are, and here's God. Now here, this is us as sinful beings without Holy Spirit, without God living in us, without salvation. Now God's desire is towards us, so he is continually wooing us, continually pursuing us, saying, I love you. I love you. And again, we reject him. No, that's not for me. No, I don't want your love. We pursue other lovers, we pursue other things, other desires. We continually reject him. Now, one of two things end up happening. The first is either we continually harden our hearts and continually reject him, and we die and live in eternal damnation. I mean, that's just the fact. It's not, we will die apart from him eternally. It's the wages of sin. It's by his grace that we're even alive now. I mean, people, you know, ask, how can God allow all this sickness and everything to happen? It's like, how can God, if he's a just God, allow us to even be alive? We should be dead if he was not merciful, if he was not good, if he was not full of grace and mercy. So either we can die apart from him forever, or we can choose to say, I love you too. This is what salvation is. Salvation isn't some little prayer you say, some words you do, some thing that you go through. Salvation is something that happens in the inner parts of your most being. Salvation is when we say yes to God's love, when we receive him as our Savior, not just saying words, but it's a transaction of the heart. When we say yes to his love, we allow him to wash over us, to cleanse us, to purify us. No longer does he see us as the sinful beings that we were, but we are a new creation in Christ. We are made new by his love and by his power. And he sees us through the image of Christ. So when he looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. So no longer will we die apart from him, but we will spend eternity with him. And so, just kind of a analogy or expression that I got from another teacher, Jake Hamilton, it goes kind of like this. Well, God's pursuing us and he's loving us, we just kind of finally give in. It's just like, fine, I love you too. And God's like, no, I love you. And it's like he takes a bucket of water and pours it on us. And here we are with our little cup. Splash. I love you too, God. God up there with his bathtub full of water. No, I love you. scramble, grab our bucket. Okay. Yes. Yes, Jesus. So we get our little bucket. Splash. I love you. No, 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 no. I love you. Niagara Falls of water pours down on us. It leaves us scrambling, looking for something bigger to be able to give love, more love to him. So we begin getting rid of things, we begin cutting off things, watching less TV, spending less time hanging out, doing less things so we can make more time to spend in his word, to spend discovering who he is in the revelation of his love. This is called death to self, and it's also worship. The response to the knowledge of God, the response to the love of God, this is what worship is. And it's only available through the Spirit of God. Because on our own, we can't know God because we already separate ourselves from him when we chose to sin. But by salvation and by Holy Spirit living in us, he will actually show us the deep things of God's heart, what his desires are, what his emotions are, his longings. Romans 8:13-17. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. It's not the same verse. I thought it was when I looked back. They both say Abba, Father. It just happened to be that. So I don't know, something about that. Abba. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Yes. Now in this, he didn't save us just to save us from death. He's not like, oh, you know, I kind of like you. I really don't want you to die forever and burn in hell. I'll just kind of save you. No, he saved us unto something. Yes. For his glory. Yes. We aren't just, you know, slipping by. We are actually sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. We are co-heirs with the inheritance that Christ has. We are the bride of Christ, destined for glory. Again, worship is our response to the love of God and the revelation of the knowledge of God, what he is like and who he is. First Corinthians 2:10-12 says, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Amen. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Amen. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would reveal to us the things of your heart. Amen. Holy Spirit, even now, open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts to what you're doing, to what you're saying. Worship is really important to me for a lot of reasons. But one of the parts that really, in which God highlighted it in my life, was how I came to him. Because I've grown up in the church and have been raised by my wonderful family, knowing the principles of God, but it never really connected in my heart. And so it wasn't until I had gone to a conference, and at that point in my life, I was just in a place of wanting to feel something that was real, longing to know something more, that there's more than just this. I was depressed, had no hope, was completely lost. So there I was at a conference, sitting over on the side while Corey Asbury, Matt Gilman, Jay Thomas were going crazy on stage. Just not engaged, not entering into worship. And I just kind of stood up and and stood there, and suddenly I felt something in my heart. It's almost like a pressure, a warmth that kind of started slowly but slowly began to build. And all of a sudden I had this feeling, I need to go up to the front. Like, I've got to go up there. But I resisted it. And I was like, no, I'm comfortable here. I don't want to go up there. So I just kind of stood there. I was like, it's cool, kind of. Came again, the urge, go up to the front. I continually resisted it for, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 minutes. It was a while. But eventually I'm just like, started walking up. I'm like, why am I going up here? My feet just kind of went on their own. And I'm just, next thing I know, I'm at the front, like behind all these people. I'm just like, okay. All of a sudden, like 2 seconds later, this guy, boom, prophesies over me, speaks to my heart. Everything that's wrong, everything that I'm in the depression and everything, he speaks the exact opposite. He speaks life. He speaks the love of God. He speaks grace. And in that moment, something was ignited in my heart, a desire for God, saying, I've found what I've been looking for. I've found what I've been longing for. It's been there all along. So I've continually been on this journey of discovering who God is, revelation of who he is, and pursuing him. So Jeff, if you want to come on up and get some music going, that'd be good. All right, so, hey.
Go ahead,
you can share something.
I had no idea I was going to do this, but we went to a conference this last weekend in Seattle, and are you guys ready to be stretched a little bit?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So, during worship, I was in the Spirit in worship. And as I was in the Spirit, this tall, I would say, being came up next to me. He had the face of an ox. And he came and he stood next to me and he put his arm around me and he said, step to the side. So I stepped to the side, and as I did, I entered into this dark space. And all I could see were eyes, pairs of eyes. They were spiritual beings that I have no words to describe. So I'm going to try and put in language what I saw. These spiritual beings were like living recorders. They recorded the worship on earth, all throughout the earth. And the space I was in was like an echo chamber, but it was more like a mixing room. And all of these beings who recorded all of the worship on earth were mixing all of earth's worship into one sound, and it was being released, and I think it was being released into heaven. Now things are concealed in darkness, because that means it's a mystery, and the Lord, I believe, was highlighting that worship, that there's so much more to know. And so much more for us to understand. And that we're, if I could see the eyes, it means we're just beginning to see. And I could see a little bit around the eyes, a little bit about their skin. But I felt like the Lord was saying, I'd only be able to handle what I saw. And I'm going to step out and I'm going to say something because I believe it to be truth. And the truth was that I felt one thing that the Lord was saying since that time is, not everything we sing in church is worship. So, thank you.
Hello?
Read the date.
2/22/2015.
That would be today.
Lord, the quarantine is over. The love quarantine is over.
When we were in worship, had the Lord come really strong and say, the quarantine is over. Declare and decree that the quarantine is over. The love quarantine is over. This is what worship is. The love quarantine. Everything that's been locked up within you is no longer quarantined. It's time to get out. He's letting the love of you out. He's letting the love that he's been building up inside of you, like a river of rushing water, start to flow out of you so that it touches and transforms. And you can bring back all the glory to his name on the earth. That's what he's doing in this hour. That's what you just expressed. That's the heart of worship. The true heart of worship is a heart that says, you poured out that Niagara Falls on me and more, and I will let it flow out, and I'll let it flow out and touch the region. I'll let it flow out and touch the nations. I'll let it flow out as a throne, just like it came from your throne, and it will declare a place for you to come and sit on the earth.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and stand with me, if you like. Go ahead and put your hands out like you're receiving a gift. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would awaken within us even now, searching the depths of God. We ask for more of you. We ask for the revelation of the beauty of Jesus. We ask that your fire would come even now. God, reveal to us your heart. God, we want to know your desires. We want to know your thoughts towards us. Holy Spirit, awaken our hearts, awaken our minds, and open our eyes to what you are doing even now. We ask for more even now. Holy Spirit, come. Pray for more of you, Jesus. Let your fire ignite our hearts. God, we want more of you. We're not satisfied in staying in the shallow waters of Christianity. We're not satisfied in where we are. We are fulfilled in you right now, God, but we desire more.
Yes, Lord.
We desire to press in, to press on. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. Even now, God, we want to be like Jesus. Transform us. Ignite us to burn. Ignite us to be instruments of worship, not just in song, not just in arts, not just in creativity, God, but in our lifestyles. Let us be instruments of praise. Let us determine to never leave that place of worship in our hearts. God, even though we might leave this building, let us never leave that place of encounter with you. Continually encountering your love, encountering your word and who you are. God, we want to burn for you, not just here, but God, throughout the city, at our jobs, at our homes, and our families. God, we want to burn for you. We want to love with your love. Spirit, come even now. Ask for more. In Jesus' name.
Just like Chris experienced that day, there might be something that God is doing inside of you right now. And you just know there's some kind of engagement going on with him right now. I just encourage you to respond to that. It may just be nothing more than standing up or lifting your hands, or and you can be a believer for a long time. And there are just these points in time when he comes and he wakes your spirit up. And he creates a hunger in you for more. Don't be intimidated. Just respond. Just take this opportunity to respond to the move of God that's going on inside of you right now. God, in my living, there in my breathing, God, in my waking, God, in my sleeping, God, in my resting, there in my working, God, in my thinking, God, in my speaking, be my everything, 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 be my everything. My hoping, there in my dreaming, God in my watching, God in my waiting, God in my laughing, there in my weeping, God in my hurting, God in my healing, be my everything, be my everything, pour it out, Lord. Pour your love out right now, we pray. Be my everything, 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 be my everything. You are everything, you are everything. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are everything. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are everything. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are everything. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are everything. You're my everything. You're my everything. You're my everything. You are everything. Be my everything we need, Lord. You're everything we need, Lord Jesus. You are everything. You are everything. You are everything.
You are everything.
You are everything. Everything. Everything.
I am so thankful that God loves us all. You know that word Jeff gave or said, you know, you've been Christian for a long time, and that would be me. But he still moves, and he works, and he refreshes, and he renews, and he strengthens. And he makes better, and he makes stronger. And today, the song that we were singing, Come Be a Fire in Me, for the world to see. And I was thinking about the elements of a fire. You need a source, you need a fuel, and you need oxygen. Jesus is the source. The Holy Spirit is the oxygen, and we are the fuel. And maybe in the beginning, it is God's love, and it's his mercy, and it's consuming the stuff of the world, the stuff that we've carried, and it's burning away. And maybe that smoke doesn't look pretty, or that fire doesn't look good. But Ian gave a word to us. Gave a word to us, and it's out of Psalms 92. And he talked about, you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. So I'll leave Linda to figure out the ox thing that she saw. Fine oils have been poured upon me. And as I believe that as we walk and as we grow, the stuff in our life gets consumed, it gets used up, and then that fine oil that's poured out upon us, it begins to burn. And then that is truly the pure light, the pure fire that the world needs to see. And God said at the end, don't overthink it. Just Amen. Let the fire be the fire. If you take a match, put it on some wood, it's gonna burn. It just does. It is the nature of fire. And so, Lord God, I thank you for how you're moving upon and in and through and out of us and in us. And Lord, I just pray by your Spirit that you would set us free to be spiritual beings stuck in a body moving through our minds. However Justin explained it, it was so freeing that we don't have to overthink. We don't have to understand it all, Lord God, but we let the life of Christ just be in us and move and bear fruit. And Lord, we ask that outside of this place and inside of this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Chris, why don't you come up and just prophesy over this region of what you, where you see worship going. Just begin to speak into this region where worship is going in the future. And just let God speak through you. You don't have to think ahead of time. Just speak out over this region where worship is going.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was the revival in the Wales when I thought about where worship can go. There was a revival in Wales, and the power of God moved in such a way that people would come out of their houses and just be overcome by the power of God, fall on their knees and turn to him without even anyone coming to them, where boats would be coming in from miles away, and all of a sudden, yes, the fear of God would come upon the sailors, would come upon those on the boat, and they'd come to their knees and be convicted and turn to God and show up at Wales, already converted, already praising God and singing hymns to him. So God, prophesy over this region uncontrollable worship.
Amen.
Uncontainable, yes, passion.
Yes, Lord.
God, that all of our boxes about how things should look would be completely broken.